Chapter 7. Makes me think of lightning in skies. The screen door of Changming's studio rebounds off the wall, and Xiar does not glance back. He takes the rickety stairs as quickly as he can, gaze fixed on the closed door of the studio they usually use. Yu Baiyi probably isn't here. Xiar is meant to be in class right now, and it's not like Yu Baiyi lives here. He wants the familiar walls and a place where he can move without smacking into something after three steps. Except, it seems Yu Baiyi does live here. He stands at the bar, doing slow, careful stretches, and grimacing as he unknots his back. Xiar pauses in the doorway and fights the urge to fidget.
Hey, wasn't expecting you for an hour or so. Couldn't stay away, huh?
Yu Baiyi smirks at Xiar in the mirror. Xiar tries to smirk back, but his face won't quite cooperate. His jaw has gone numb. All that he produces is a weak, shaky smile, which falls away again without his consent.
Xia?
Yu Baiyi has turned around. Yu Baiyi is looking at him. It's intolerable. Turning away, Xiar looks out the window. The sun is out, although turned red and streaky by the smoke in the air. A pair of lorikeets are clambering through the thin upper branches of a grevillea tree, turning somersaults as they wrestle the flowers for their nectar.
Xia.
I'm fine. He holds his water bottle tight. The doorknob, too. He can't step onto the dance floor in street shoes, and he'd skip the locker room in his rush. What are you working on?
Let's start with breathing.
Yu Baiyi holds up his hands then, slowly, gently lowers them onto Xia'er's shoulders, where they sink him back into his body like a pair of stones.
In, two, three.
Xia'er stares at him, doesn't inhale.
In, Yu Baiyi repeats. Two, three, four, hold.
He talks Xia'er through three breaths like that. A fourth. He talks until Xia'er can exhale for a full eight counts without shaking. Then keeps counting. He doesn't stop until Xia'er allows himself to collapse in slow motion. He only means to hang his head, but Yu Baiyi guides him forward until he's resting against his chest. Yu Baiyi's heartbeat is slow and steady, and he's always so fucking warm. Xia'er inhales, exhales, considers closing his eyes and going the fuck to sleep right there. It might let him delay his mortification. Yu Baiyi doesn't ask him what happened, though, or what's wrong, or if he's okay, and Xia'er briefly, fiercely loves him for that. He has to say it, though. They're partners. Yu Baiyi should know. His voice cracks. He growls and bites Yu Baiyi's tank top, grinding his teeth around the fabric until he thinks his voice has steadied. Without letting go, he mumbles, "My Yifu called." Yu Baiyi tenses, but he keeps his mouth shut. And when another moment passes without him saying a thing, Xiar fumbles open the outside zipper of his dance bag and pulls out his phone. He unlocks it on his third try, fingers shaking too hard to hit the numbers. He's lucky not to drop the phone. Then he hands it over, hides his face again. He feels the movement through Yu Baiyi's chest as he brings the phone to his ear. Xiar wants to cover his ears with his hands, like a child hiding from thunder. Even with the phone's low volume, he can hear Yifu shouting. Or maybe he just imagines it.
How dare you embarrass me this way? You ungrateful little shit. I'll make you wish you'd drifted down your whore mother's ass crack.
Yu Baiyi cuts it off before he finishes his tirade. There's the soft, swooping chime of the message being deleted. The slow sigh of a measured breath carefully let out. Yu Baiyi's chest unknots under Xia'er's temple.
Let's go to my place, he says. I'll make you lunch. Yubai's place isn't far. Turns out he walks to the studio every day. Xiar, familiar with the logistical nightmare of parking anywhere in a 20-block radius of Flinders Street, envies him a little. Since Xiar drove, Yubai climbs into the passenger seat beside him and directs him into Yubai's own parking space, currently occupied only by a battered scooter. Xiar is so hollowed out, he can't even muster the urge to make fun of it, which makes Yubai frown even deeper. The building Yubai lives in is incredibly old, old enough that it's probably made the jump from shit heap to heritage listed. Not that Xiar is any judge. And they have to walk up four flights of stairs. Yubai holds his hand the whole time. They don't run into anyone, or maybe Xiar just doesn't notice. Yubai gets the door open without letting go of Xiar's hand and guides him over to a couch. Xiar sinks into the pillows and, without quite understanding how, finds himself curled up on his side, arms wrapped around a pillow, watching Yubai cook. Yubai's freezer is full of neatly stacked Tupperware, frozen meat, trays of dumplings ready to be cooked. He uses a cleaver to slide two rows of pale, pleated dumplings off a tray and onto a plate, then puts the rest away. He puts oil in a frying pan and sets it to heating, dumps rice into a rice cooker that has to be older than Xiar, fishes around in his fridge and produces a Tupperware container of some kind of soup. The soup goes in the microwave, and Yubai goes back to the stove, squinting at the frying pan. He pulls his phone out of his pocket and squints at that, too, then types for a bit, texting someone, and abandons it on his kitchen counter. Xiar rises from the couch. He brings the pillow with him. It's soft, and it's comfortable, and it makes him feel a little less like someone is going to come along and steal his liver and his lungs right out of him, like a horrible Mr. Potato Head or something. He doesn't know. But Yubai looked at his phone and deleted a voicemail without asking, so Xiar lets himself sneak a look at Yubai's screen. The phone is probably the only non-ancient thing he has, only a few models old. Xiar had half expected a flip phone. The black and white case bears scuff marks from being dropped or knocked into things, and the screen protector is cracked, but not the screen beneath. The first message is just an array of emoji. Many, many knives. Some eggplants. Blood. Needles. More knives. Fire. He knows it's Dupusa before he even looks at the name at the top of the screen.
Chat with contact. Thigh tattoo.
Okay. One. Good. Xiaxia needs some TLC. Pet his hair if he lets you. That's a privilege, BTW. He might try to bite your hand off, so ask first.
Xiar scrolls up, not to the beginning of their text thread, although it would make a good distraction, just to the beginning of today.
He's having a rough day. What can I do for him?
More orgasms? What flavor of bad?
That bastard left a message for him. Check your phone. I forwarded it to you. Deleted off his phone, but figured the record might be handy. Making him lunch now.
Then the emoji screed. Xiar is about to put the phone down, but another message from Dupusa pops up.
2. Distraction. Give me half an hour? Gonna make some things happen. You're free tonight, BTW? Don't care if you weren't earlier. XOXOXOX.
Xiar sighs. What does she say? He jumps, but Yubai doesn't look bothered to find Xiar pawing through his texts. Xiar finds a perch on a bar stool that feels like it was salvaged from somewhere and repainted. It wobbles a little until he settles his weight just so. He props his arms on the counter, the pillow between his stomach and the quartz bench top. Apparently, we're going out tonight. Don't ask me where. What if I had dinner plans? Shi'ar pauses, then hugs the pillow a little tighter. If anyone can get you out of going, it's me. Idiot, of course I'm going. Here. He gets the microwave right before it beeps, stirs, sips, then passes the container to Shi'ar with the same spoon in it. Drink that. It's too hot out for soup. It'll cool you off. Go on. Shi'ar sniffs the container and sips at it. The broth is thin and yellow and a little sour. He tastes kefir leaves and lemongrass and ginger, and under all that, a faint trace of sweetness. Palm sugar? Digging in with the spoon reveals a whole mess of vegetables, taro and pumpkin and winter melon, whole mushrooms, slices of something that looks like a soggy loofah, and some big green leaves that look a little like wilting spinach but taste slightly bitter. It cools him off, too. What is it? Some lore proher. Yu Baiyi says. Without the fish, though. Shi'ar eats another mouthful. It's odd. Not spicy, exactly. But the kind of thing Yifu, the kind of thing rich people would call aromatic. He can almost taste where the fish ought to be if he holds the broth in his mouth. It needs a savory note to soak up all the mild flavors, balance the bitter and sour. Yu Baiyi turns back to the stove, sliding dumplings off the plate and into the oil. They hiss and pop at contact. Shi'ar turns away before he can see what else Yu Baiyi plans to do with them, taking his soup and his pillow back to the couch and curling up in one corner. With his torso wedged firmly between the couch's arm and back, and Yu Baiyi between him and the outside world, Shi'ar feels almost safe. He doesn't finish the container of soup. His stomach is waking up, and he can smell the dumplings as Yu Baiyi fishes them out of the pan and back onto the plate, which has somehow been filled with rice while Shi'ar wasn't looking. Yu Baiyi drizzles the whole dish with soy sauce and vinegar before he brings them over and folds himself onto his couch, Taylor style. He sets them on the low coffee table, which has a little drawer on the underside, from which Yu Baiyi produces bamboo chopsticks that have certainly seen better days, and might have started life as the disposable kind from a sushi train. Shi'ar realizes abruptly that he skipped breakfast, and that all he has in his stomach is thin vegetable soup. He almost snatches the chopsticks out of Yu Baiyi's hand and falls on the dumplings with a rapacious hunger that reminds him of being 16 again, constantly starving, as he tries to work out how to work all the new lengths of his limbs. He pauses at the first bite and narrows his eyes at Yu Baiyi. Is this hard go? Yeah. Yu Baiyi picks up Shi'ar's abandoned soup and drinks from it like it's a pint glass. What? Don't you like prawns? Shi'ar straightens up, staring at Yu Baiyi with awed horror. You're not supposed to fry har gao. And yet I just did, Yu Baiyi says, garbled around a mouthful of mushroom. Bite me. Shi'ar finishes his dumpling first. It's tasty as fuck, even if fried har gao feels vaguely sacrilegious, and then obediently leans over and bites Yu Baiyi's bicep. Yu Baiyi swallows. Does that taste good? He asks, nudging Shi'ar's forehead. Eat your dumplings while they're hot. He does. The second one is just as good as the first. Shi'ar moves the pillow to one side, folds his legs, and balances the plate on the knee closer to Yu Baiyi. They share the rest of them and the rice that soaked up the sauce and fragrant oil. Who taught you to cook? Shi'ar says. Me, mostly. I made nice with a lot of chefs. Read a lot of recipe books. This isn't restaurant food. Not good enough for the little prince? It should make Shi'ar flinch, raw as he is. But Yubai is smiling, crooked and familiar. So Shi'ar just rolls his eyes at him. No, it's food for people. We... And he stops. For a moment, there's a shadow on his expression, a frown digging into his forehead, and the beginnings of smile lines around his mouth smoothing out. He looks briefly much older than Shi'ar knows he is. Silence drops between them, not even broken by the sound of chewing. There's no music, no footfalls, no chatter. Even the air conditioning unit is fairly quiet, humming away across the room. Shi'ar doesn't need him to talk, either. With a sigh, he picks up the last of the dumplings and shoves it into Yubai's face. It's getting cold. Help me out here. Yubai opens his mouth and lets Shi'ar put the dumpling in it. The way the chopsticks catch on his lower lip gives Shi'ar a strange bodily reminder of the way Yubai had looked on his knees. Not so much the image itself, but the way all his viscera had sung in pleasure at the sight. He looks away once Yubai starts to chew, using the rice to mop up leftover vinegar. He feels like he should say something, guide them to safer waters. Nothing useful comes to mind. Yubai saves him. He wraps a thick arm around Shi'ar's side and tugs him against his torso. Shi'ar goes easily. Doesn't even have to make himself pliant, his body already relaxing into Yubai's grip in a way it never has for anyone else, and ends up with his face perilously close to Yubai's armpit. He shoves his nose into the thicket of hair there, and Yubai yelps. Little shit, how is your nose so cold? Are you made of ice? Yes, he replies, a little bit vicious. All of the old exchanges seem more distant now, though, the voicemail included. His stomach is full of soup and rice and dumplings, not knives, and he might be thawing. Shi'ar scoots a little closer, raises his head a couple inches, and rests his head on Yubai's shoulder. It's comfortable there, even with his eyes open and his neck at a weird angle. Then Yubai cautiously threads his fingers into Shi'ar's hair, and it gets better. He gets petted for a while, like a cat, and then gets the nape of his neck massaged. His phone pings, and he ignores it. It pings a second time, and Shi'ar frowns and doesn't look. Then it chimes several times in rapid succession, and he finally makes an aggrieved noise and extricates himself enough to find that he apparently has a new group chat. Untitled group chat with 39 people. Wen Kasheng added you.
Attention, ladies, gentlemen, fuckboys, sluts, hoes, sodomites, bald eyes, disaster boys, plant gays, astrology bottoms, one black coffee doms, bitches good and bad, tops who need therapy, dad joke lesbians, switches with commitment issues, animal pin non-binaries, and tragic heterosexuals. We are going out.
Tops who need therapy? I'll make you an appointment.
This is not about me.
Wow.
Focus up, people.
This is about... the dance.
There it is.
We meet at Glamorama. Be there or be executed for treason.
This means you, Zhizhe. Face pulling a kiss emoji.
Shi'ar snorts and shows Yubai. Your phone is probably blowing up too. Yubai grunts. I don't know where Wen Kasheng gets the energy. No, wait, I do. It's cocaine. It's definitely not cocaine. Wen Kasheng, regrettably, is just like that. But Shi'ar nods sagely. Well, no choice. We have to go out. Dupuso will come for us if we don't. Yubai makes a thoughtful face. I think I could take her.
No, Xia R says. She'd get into your kitchen, and even if you won to begin with, you'd go to have a celebratory snack, and she'd get you. He texts. See you all there, assholes. Where Yu Baiyi can see it. Then adds. Yes, you can do my makeup, when Dupusa starts typing. Do you want her to do yours too? Xia R asks, tipping his head back and batting his eyelashes outrageously. Glitter always gets in my eyes, thanks. Yu Baiyi pets his hair again, though. Did she dress you up the first time we danced? Yeah, this, he waves the phone, is her go-to. It's not bad. Yu Baiyi shrugs, pushes his fingers deeper into Xia R's hair. She can meet you here if you like. Xia R pauses, studies Yu Baiyi's face, scanning for some sign of insincerity. Are you sure? Of course I'm sure. Yu Baiyi digs his knuckles into Xia R's scalp, a slow-motion noogie that just makes him go boneless. No sense in going all the way home when we're just going to meet up again tonight. Xia R wants to refuse, but he's not sure why. Yu Baiyi seems like he means what he says, and it's not like going back to Dupusa's apartment holds much appeal. Yu Baiyi inhales, opens his mouth, and Xia R braces for the other shoe to drop. I will demand a nap first, though. He tugs on one of Xia R's braids. I'm an old man. I need my rest if you want me to keep up with you young people. A second tug. Then the braid unravels, and Yu Baiyi combs his fingers through it. You can even join me if you like. I kick, Xia R says, and swallows. In my sleep. He doesn't remember the last time he shared a bed with someone overnight. Maybe it was before, back in Hong Kong. He and Dupusa have never actually tried it. She deliberately chose a couch that isn't built for two people together. Okay. Yu Baiyi twists another braid around his finger, then lets it go. His arm is warm and solid around Xia R's ribs. Just come in if you change your mind. I'm probably not even going to sleep, Xia R tells him as they finally disentangle themselves. Yu Baiyi pushes at the center of his chest before he gets up to put the plate in the sink, and Xia R stays put. It's noon. Who sleeps at noon? Just old men and toddlers. You're a baby. Yu Baiyi dries his hands on a dish towel. Go to bed, Grandpa. Yu Baiyi flips him off, then disappears through a doorway. His bedroom must be on just the other side of the wall. If Xia R strains his ears, he can just make out the sound of him shuffling around, the soft squeak of the bedsprings. Sighing, Xia R turns onto his back. He shoves at the pillows a few times and closes his eyes to listen. The walls aren't so thin he can hear Yu Baiyi breathing, though, so it's mostly nothing. Air conditioning, the sound of traffic from far below, white noise. It's warm, but not oppressively so. He hugs a spare pillow. Yu Baiyi seems to have a thousand of the things against his stomach and doesn't pull down the blanket draped over the back of the couch. Some fuzzy printed thing. It looks soft and old, and Xia R amuses himself, playing with the fringe for a few minutes before letting his hand fall back to the pillow. He sighs. He blinks. He sleeps. Walking into Glamorama always makes Xia R think of descending into the netherworld, except that the stairs lead up instead of down. With Yu Baiyi on his left arm and Dupusa on his right, Xia R feels like Eurydice in triplicate, called forward by the music inside, hoping no one looks back. Xia R might not mind staying in the underworld if it was Yu Baiyi looking back at him. Yu Baiyi hasn't been able to tear his gaze away, not since Xia R changed into the outfit Dupusa brought, a crop top with swaying fringe, his shortest shorts, fishnets, They all give Yu Baiyi plenty of naked skin to touch if Xia'er can tempt him. Dupusa's enormous feather boa swishes as she flicks a lazy salute at the mural over the doorway. The head of Patrick Bateman cleaved in two, half blue and half red, and then they're inside. Wen Kaxing must have had one of his endless hench people take over the DJ booth, because the usual electronica has been replaced with a hip-hop song Xia'er doesn't recognize. You're just in time! And there's Kaxing himself, swooping down on them like an oversized vulture. Tonight he's in red sunglasses with red-tinted lenses that look bloody under the reddish club lighting, shiny silver trousers, red ankle boots, and a sequined Ed Hardy t-shirt emblazoned with a skull and a heart and twisting dragons. Xia'er is reluctantly impressed. We're dancing! Hurry up! I can't even get a drink first, Dupusa pouts. But she steers Xia'er after Wen Kaxing as he flits away, and Xia'er, in turn, tugs Yu Baiyi along. The throng of Wen Kaxing's friends and admirers and devotees has formed into a loose pack in the center of the dance floor. People who don't know what the hell is happening scoot away, making for the bar or the booths with wary eyes. The DJ transitions into a new song. I got a bone to pick. Something Xia'er vaguely recognizes from seeing one of Dupusa's burlesque friends strip to it. Ooh, they're going classic, Dupusa says. How the fuck is this classic? Yu Baiyi demands. This came out in 2015, you infant. Xia'er isn't paying much attention because Zhou Zixu is dancing. He knew Zhou Zixu danced. He even knew Zhou Zixu danced well, at least if Wen Kaxing's gushing adoration was to be believed. He hasn't seen Zhou Zixu dance, though, and watching him launch himself at the floor, catching himself on his hands and throw his body into a spin. Okay, yeah, he gets why everyone wants to stick their dick in this guy now. Zixu moves with a confidence bordering on cockiness, kept from tipping over by how he lands every move, stable as a building on just one hand, even with his center somewhere out in space. He looks like he could run across rooftops if someone dared him to. Another guy joins him, someone Xia'er recognizes from Wen Kaxing's parties. Han Ying or something like that. He isn't as good, but he's not bad by any stretch. He's quick and sharp. Complicated footwork flowing straight into a flip he lands, and then reverses fast enough to make Xia'er's abs twinge in sympathy. Zixu lets him have the floor for a few bars before stepping forward and giving him an arm for leverage. Han Ying flips himself again and then careens back into the circle, the whirl of his limbs belying his control. Xia'er presses forward with the crowd, with Dupusa, and pulls Yu Baiyi along so they can watch and cheer in the mess of bodies packed together. Zixu moves again. He never really stopped. He keeps time with quick crosses and spins, but he slots himself back into the circle, mirroring his partner's quick-fire steps. They spin and drop, and Zixu rises again. He jumps. For a second, he runs in midair before Han Ying kicks his feet up, and Zixu pushes off them, and back into the edge of the crowd. Han Ying bounds up a beat later, bows, and follows. Come on, Dupusa shouts over the beat. The song changes, and Dupusa shoves him in the center of the back. He releases Yu Baiyi's hand as he almost stumbles forward. Dupusa's hands snap up to frame her face, and Xia'er mirrors her, grinning. They fall into sync so easily, catwalking into the center of the floor, the wall of bodies around them, the wall of noise. It's all enough to make Xia'er dizzy even without a single shot of tequila. He freezes in place for a four count, letting Dupusa use him as a frame for her own performance. And then it's his turn again. He manages a credible duck walk, despite the way his shoes keep trying to stick to the floor, spins back upright with a flick of his hair. Gu Xiang barges in and seizes Dupusa by the hips. Xia'ar, laughing, lets himself fade into the circle as voguing turns into bump and grind. He leaves Dupusa and Guxiang shimmying at each other and hunts for Yu Baiyi. Yu Baiyi finds him first, arm curling around Xia'ar's waist and drawing him back against his chest. Xia'ar arches into it, one hand finding the back of Yu Baiyi's neck. You do both kinds of ballroom, huh? Yu Baiyi's mouth is close to Xia'ar's temple, hot breath skimming over the shell of his ear and making him shiver. Clever boy. Xia'ar turns, hooks a leg around Yu Baiyi's hip. The music is in him. One and two and... I can see it in her eyes, she... Yu Baiyi has his waist and they step together, slipping into a samba. Samba isn't Xia'ar's favorite, but it's worth it for this. Yu Baiyi's eyes on the snap of his hips, the swing of the fringe on his shirt. Their bodies, when Yu Baiyi spins them around, fit together, back to chest, hip to hip. One of Yu Baiyi's big, warm hands wraps around Xia'ar's arm, just below the elbow. They arch and snap forward. Samba moves too much for a place like this. But people make room for them. They do two more rolls before Yu Baiyi turns him again, and Xia'ar has to give up the press of his hips against his ass. Even his sweat feels good. Clean. Another thing for Yu Baiyi to touch. The air is thick again. The song ends. It's some K-pop remix next. Something Xia'ar vaguely recognized. Something Qian Luohan definitely recognizes from the way she whoops, and he can't quite place what they should do with it. He doesn't have to. Qian Luohan pulls him away with a hand on his arm, and he slots into her space. They move fast and close, not touching. Xia'ar's eyes stay locked on Yu Baiyi the whole time. He moves, sharp snaps of his hips, hands in his hair, and Yu Baiyi stays perfectly still by the wall, gaze hungry. And Xia'ar lets himself be sharp, lets himself pose and twist, and watches as that hunger only grows. The next change is jarring, guitar strings reverberating from the speakers, but Xia'ar's whole body lights up as the new beat rolls through his chest. He slots himself back into Yu Baiyi's space. Slow, but when Yu Baiyi reaches to take him back into his arms, Xia'ar pushes his hands down. He swivels on his own, hands on Yu Baiyi's broad shoulders. I caught it bad just today. Hands fisted in the front of Yu Baiyi's horrible tank top, he walks backwards, a smooth step at a time. One, then another, a fourth. He circles and drags his fingers across Yu Baiyi's collarbones. He maps out the muscles in his back. Only then does he let Yu Baiyi settle his broad palms on his hips. It's not a tango. It's too fast for tango. And Xia'ar doesn't feel like doing samba again. Xia'ar twists in the circle of his hands. He takes them and guides them up over his chest, coaxes Yu Baiyi into cupping his jaw. He settles his hips back into Yu Baiyi's and grinds. Yu Baiyi's answering groan reverberates down Xia'ar's spine. Then he tugs him closer and moves with him. They skip the pretense. Sure, they follow the beat, the pluck of the guitar and the rhythm of the lyrics, but only that. Yu Baiyi's other hand frames his hip, thumb tucked over the curve of his hip, fingers following the bone. He doesn't try to touch, and that's somehow more than if Yu Baiyi had gone ahead and cupped him through his shorts. Let's go outside. Xia'ar breathes as the song ends, right up against Yu Baiyi's ear. People applaud as Yu Baiyi catches him by the wrist and all but hauls him away. It's probably for whoever's in the circle, but with a vicious rising triumph surging in Xia'ar's chest, it might as well be for him. A cold breeze sweeps through the streets as they exit, stinging against Shiar's skin, but he barely notices. Brunswick Street is loud around the corner, a heaving swarm of clubbers out for the night. Shiar darts away, captures Yubai's fingers when it seems like Yubai might let him go, runs on his toes to spare Dupuis's boots. The laneway they fetch up in is covered in a rainbow of graffiti. Shiar looks back at Yubai, and a moment later he's pressed up against a brick wall, sheltered, warm. Fuck, he isn't even drunk. And yet he giggles, clinging to Yubai's awful shirt, twisting the fabric as he tries to pull Yubai closer until there's no closer for him to be. The first kiss is a glancing thing, mistimed. Shiar straining forward just as Yubai tilts his head and catching the corner of his mouth. The second is sweet, liquid, hot chocolate on a winter night. "You're so fucking hot. I hate it," Shiar says and bites Yubai's lip. "Come here." They're already plastered together, but Shiar wants more in a way he can't quite define. He pulls and bites and writhes until Yubai's thigh insinuates itself between his and, oh, yeah, that's what he wanted. Friction. He makes a sharp noise, caught in the back of his throat, and Yubai swallows it. His tongue steals into Shiar's mouth. He gets one hand between his skull and the brick wall, the other cups his ass. Yubai grinds in against him until Shiar's toes curl. "Good boy," Yubai breathes. "Let me, yeah." His hand goes from Shiar's ass to his thigh, calluses catching on the fishnet. Shiar groans and drags his hands down Yubai's chest, up his back. He claws at the backs of his shoulders. He's so hard, and there's Yubai's cock pressing into his hip. He twists and they rub together. Shiar's knees go liquid. "Again," he demands. "The way you fucking, you walk around like this." Yubai drags his hand back up, over Shiar's abs, his side, around to his back. "I'm gonna make you come in those little shorts." A groan tears out of him. "Yes!" He rocks his hips a little harder, and Yubai holds him tighter, slows him. "Let me have it!" "Slow down." Yubai bites at his neck. "I've got you, sweetheart."
"I don't want to slow down."
Shiar gets a hand on Yubai's ass into his back pocket and gropes him shamelessly.
"I want to make you cream your fucking pants."
"The mouth on you," Yubai says, admiring, and kisses him again. It's brash, demanding, and successfully distracts Shiar from Yubai's hand creeping up to his ribs. Then Yubai fucking tickles him. Shiar makes an outraged squeak into Yubai's mouth and thrashes as fingers ruthlessly dig into his side. It just makes him grind against Yubai's cock again, and the friction feels so good that Shiar moans, melts, tenses again, laughing helplessly into Yubai's mouth when his fingertips scurry over Shiar's waist. Yubai lets him go once Shiar is hanging off his shoulders, his head lolled back into the hand still between it and the wall. It's so fucking sweet of Yubai, hungry for Shiar's skin, trying to touch him all over, but he won't use both hands just so he can keep Shiar from getting a bump. "You can say it, but I can't," he starts, and then shrieks as Yubai finds that one spot just inside his hip bone. Shiar tries to climb him like a cat.
"Oh, you bastard!"
"You've got a good laugh," Yubai says, and kisses him again, like he's trying to taste it. "Let me hear it."
"You can ask."
Shiar grabs Yubai by the hair with both hands and hauls his head up.
"Words, Gaga."
"Brat," Yubai groans, punched out and breathless. Then, "Baby, sweetheart, good boy."
"Fuck."
Shiar has to close his eyes. Yubai kisses his jaw, his chin,
bites at his nose. Xia'ar turns his face away, smiling so hard his face hurts. And Yubai kisses him, right on the apple of his cheek, so sweetly it knocks the breath out of him. Hey. Yubai uses the hand on Xia'ar's head to turn him, nuzzles against the side of his face. Don't hide, my little prince. Pretty boy. Xia'ar whimpers, swears, and takes his revenge by sticking his tongue in Yubai's ear. Yubai cackles and pushes Xia'ar more firmly into the wall, and then they're rutting against each other again, breathless and giggling and gasping into each other's mouths. Xia'ar comes first, laughter trailing off into breathless encouragement, even as he ruins the insides of his shorts. Yeah, like that. Does it feel good, Guga? Yubai's ridiculous third leg of a dick twitches against him, sending sparkling lines of oversensitivity lancing through his guts. Xia'ar gets both hands into Yubai's back pockets and urges him on, rolls his hips into it until Yubai says, with unusual dignity, "Fuck," and buries his face in the crook of Xia'ar's neck as he shudders his way through an orgasm. They hold each other up. Both of them are sticky and breathing hard. Both of them shake on their feet. Xia'ar braces himself against the wall as much as he can and tips his face up to the sky. The smoke has been wiped away by the wind, at least for now. A few stars peek through the clouds and the white ring of the moon. Xia'ar smiles at them, then turns his head to kiss Yubai on the temple. "I didn't get to see your O-face," he huffs, then rubs the lines he'd clawed into Yubai's shoulders. "I go cross-eyed," Yubai sighs heavily. "Fuck, haven't done that in years." "Done what? Fucked someone in an alley?" Xia'ar regrets it immediately. He doesn't need to know about the last person Yubai fucked, or bring up Rong Cheng Ching. But Yubai just laughs and tries to smooth down his hair from where Xia'ar had mangled it. "Something like that," he replies. Xia'ar bats Yubai's hands away and fixes the hair himself. One loose hank won't tuck into the bun so neatly, so Xia'ar braids it with deft hands and winds it around the base, plucking a bobby pin from his own hair to fix it in place. Yubai watches him the whole time, still smiling. His eyes go all soft and crinkled up around the edges. Xia'ar puts the tip of his forefinger to Yubai's crow's feet, marvels at the delicacy of the skin. Yubai is solid as a mountain, rooted in ancient earth, but he lets Xia'ar touch all his fragile places. "I'm hungry," Xia'ar announces, instead of examining that thought too closely. "Of course you are," Yubai grumbles. He steps back from the wall, but doesn't let go. He seems absolutely fascinated by Xia'ar's naked waist. His hands keep resting there, mapping Xia'ar's back, his ribs, his abdomen. "Wanna head back inside?" "You're telling me you are not hungry after that?" Xia'ar pets the stretched out bit of Yubai's tank top. It's indistinguishable from all the other stretching and wear that poor shirt has suffered, except that it's still wrinkled from Xia'ar's death grip. "Get some chips with me or something. We'll see what happens." "Let's go." Xia'ar glances down at his lap. So far, nothing's running down his leg, but it's getting sticky. "Let me wash this out first." They end up shutting themselves in the bathroom and doing their best with some paper towels. It's scratchy and awful, but it's better than the gummy mess they'd had. And Xia'ar gets to sneak a peek at Yubai's soft cock. It's as big as it felt, and he almost drops to his knees to suck him off again. But there's someone banging at the door, and Xia'ar's stomach growls. "Didn't I feed you today?" Yubai hooks an arm around his waist as they leave. "Chips. Know a good place?"